Hello, and welcome to Unquiet Blood, 12-Sided Stories 5e Vampire the Masquerade Show. This tale is rules light, story heavy, and covered in blood. And now, our GM, Mac Beauvais.
Everybody, welcome to, I guess, Unquiet Blood, the after show. Ooh, I wish it was later and then it could just be Unquiet Blood after dark. We could just tell you it's dark outside.
It's dark, outside.
Yeah, it's dark. Welcome to Unquiet Blood after dark. I'm Mac Beauvais. I GM'd the first season of Unquiet Blood, which you hopefully listened to if you're listening to this. And I have everybody here at the table with me, and we're going to break down some stuff from the season.
Yeah.
So, Terry, you want to kick us off with introductions?
Hi, I'm Terry Gamble. I played Issachar Fora, cult leader extraordinaire. Join me.
Yeah, I did, and I will again.
Yes.
Every time. I'm Abria Iyengar. I played Stella Martingale. I called myself the Love Witch. She was a Tremere. I don't think I ever actually said it out loud because I don't think she ever really understood her like clan connection.
Right. Yeah.
I'm Michelle Otis, and I played Maria Zarg, a German artiste who just likes for her work to be admired. And she is a Toreador.
Oh, I'm a bruja. I didn't say that. I guess we're saying that now, huh?
I guess so.
It's a thing now.
Okay.
I just know I'm the kings or something.
Ventru.
Yeah. See, it's been so long since we've even referenced them. I am Wes Otis. I play John LaRoche. And I said it twice correctly. So, yay. It only took me 10 episodes.
Really, this after show is just a test.
Yeah, it is. Totally.
Yeah. So, holy hell, you guys surprised me a lot this season. I don't have like prepared questions because I'm super professional.
I didn't either, so.
But
I have 11.
You have 11 questions. All right, let's do this. You guys were, I'm just going to start off with saying you were all such a delight as players, and it was really fun to see how different all the characters were and how they grew in some ways, how they didn't grow in some ways. So I guess I'd like to know like where you guys feel like maybe your trajectory has changed from episode 1 to episode 10, if there's if your character's focus has very much shifted.
Cool. Can I start? Because I feel like I definitely have an answer for this. I definitely built Stella to feel super disconnected from like the greater like vampire society. So she didn't really have a strong connection with her clan, and her magic was sort of this incidental thing that she used in order to like be good at feeding and kind of just keeping herself afloat. Like she was a pretty big like hippie that lived like on a retired studio ranch. And I think in the presence of Isabeau, like an actual like powerful female like blood magic user and wielder, she was given like some clarity of focus, and that's why I was very excited to have like my end cap be her sort of taking up not the mantle in terms of like purpose, but taking up a focused intention on like delving into the magic and becoming someone that's like powerful.
Rad.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are looking at me like I'm going to say something. Hi, this is Terry. I guess so. With Antissa. Yeah, I'll say it. Patient. For those who are waiting. Oh. I think I went through a journey of, well, not yes and no. Like, I feel like the journey is going to be more in season 2 if we do that, if when. Because I had to kind of let go of what I thought I needed, which was my cult. Because we kind of had to dissolve throughout this, like, like season and like had to rely more on my friends and not just on using these other people, but really rely on my friends to really make some change. And maybe we'll see some reflection of that. I feel like there's opportunity there and with the new space and what could happen with really building more community and seeing the potential of like, oh, if we had made something like Hellfire, like Isabel, as much as she was like a terrible cunt, she was also had some good ideas, you know, like, yeah. Like, oh, this is not a bad thing. Like just, you know, her, implementation might have not been super great and, or ethical in any kind of vampire way, you know, as far as vampire ethics go.
I mean, there's not a lot of vampire ethics. Can't you just keep to the little bit that we have?
It's so simple. Exactly. So there's always going to be somebody, you know, pushing and pulling True Blood, you know, like of who wants to be in charge and how they're going to run it. So I think that was a lot of fun. And I'm very curious to know more about these people. And I just started falling in love with them. So I'm just like, oh, I want more.
I think for John, because he was a former pope, because he was a bad former pope, and because he has never been out of the shadow of Isabeau. And now I think for me, what the arc was during the entire story was learning about leadership and what it actually is and stepping up and trying to actually lead as opposed to being just bad at everything and being kind of under the thumb of someone else. And I'm very excited to see how that plays out in the future, you know.
I think for Maria, I think I liked the development of that friendship between her and John. Like, they will never again be lovers, but they will always be friends. And that's, you know, I think that was just a big pull for her. And that development of, her feelings towards Issachar and Stella, like that they're her friends, you know, and even though Stella's like nuts, she like has this patience for her and she's just like, okay, let's try this, you know? I just love the group dynamic of it and her place in that group. Like, I think she's really just liked the fact that she's settled with this group where she's like, okay, they're not artistes like me, but, you know, but for some reason we gel.
Were there any moments in the game you guys found like particularly surprising where you're just like, what the?
My goofy answer is coming back onto the ranch with a music video.
Yeah.
That was such a fun, like, reminder that the world is bigger than, like, vampire problems in the middle of the night. And you're just like, oh my God, humans do stuff. And it was fun to examine the idea that Stella still has like a strong sense of her own humanity. Like, she fell into like being a PA like incredibly easily, because I think she hasn't divorced herself from like the daylight world as much as a lot of other vampires mm-hmm. have yet. So yeah.
And I also, from what I can tell, and maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like Stella falls into everything pretty easily. Like, oh, I want this drink. And then suddenly Stella becomes hyper-focused on whatever's right in front of her.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what's going on around.
She's got ADHD and it's very
there's like a brawl about to happen all around her. Yeah, no. But this drink, it's very important.
I think for me, one of the like most surprising moments was when Isabeau murdered that artist, the local artist.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That was a shocker. And it was just kind of like, she's willing to like just do that, you know? And I mean, of course, yeah, she's willing to murder humans. That wasn't the shocker. It was just specifically that human and in the way that she left him there. And
The fact that I made that last combat roll. That was honestly,
that was super surprising.
And I made an incredible roll and it was like, oh, thank God. But yeah, that was the most surprising.
And I will say, oh, go ahead. Sorry. I just want to say props to you for building a like tone and like tenor to the encounter that made it feel so triumphant that you actually like did like super hit with your stuff. Like, I think that's a testament to the GM making it like, we all understood intellectually that was the finale, and like without knowing exactly when season two starts, like, you know, you kind of want to end on a high note or a very dark, like, dark note. But the fact that you still were able to, like, pull us out of that meta knowledge as people putting on a show that we were, like, so excited that, like, the thing happened, but, like, it was very, very good.
It was dope. It was. I was like, yes, the power I am drunk with. It's great. I guess I'm often drunk with power in this show. Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, more shocking things. Those are, like, the music video was still the funniest thing to me. I was just re-listening to that again. And it made me laugh. It makes me giggle with delight every time I hear that.
There's a moment with your character, actually, mm-hmm. that I think you kind of found maybe a little surprising mm-hmm. in the moment, but actually cracked me up real bad when you went to hit Edvard, mm-hmm. but you rolled so high.
And I didn't mean to bust his face.
And you didn't mean to bust his face open. And I'm like, oh, and his face busted open. You're like,
no.
I could see it in your eyes of like this, like,
yeah, uh-oh. My strength was very surprising. I was like, oh, because usually I'm not like the strongest person in a party. And so to be like the like ball buster in this group, to be like, you guys are surprisingly unstrong as vampires. I was very like, okay, fine.
Oopsie.
No, it was great. But it, like, someone's got to be a tank. And I'm happy. I was happy to be like the cult leader tank, which is just, I felt like was a weird juxtaposition and fun to play as well, too. Because it's like,
absolutely,
those totally feel like they're disparate, like, you know, things, but they worked really well together. Because it's like, of course, she doesn't know her own strength and like almost kills people probably all the time.
Well, we just want to say tanks.
Yeah.
Oh. That was good. I liked it.
That actually, the encounter with Edvard, actually led to the thing that surprised me the most that you guys did, which was going to the police. And they're like, okay, I guess we're having an episode where they go to the police station and are reporting everything. And I'm like trying to come up with NPCs on the fly and figure out what the hell I'm doing and like, how do police stations even work?
No one knows.
Right? I don't think they know.
No. Nope.
And I was just like, you know, it's one of those really fun moments where players really diverge from where you think the story is going to go for a while, and was really fun because of it.
Yeah.
We got all ethical for a moment. We ethical vampire.
It was super not ethical. It was trying to cover your asses.
Yay.
We do what we can.
Yeah, but going to the police to be like, oh, he assaulted me, and and he's going to say that and blah, blah, blah.
Hey, super, you know, cute. You got the card, you can play it, you know? I think also one other thing that was really, like, not surprising, because I knew that what kind of character Isabeau was going to be, but what was surprising to me was, or a little crushing, was that she killed the father.
I knew that was going to be, like, a really harsh
moment. That was harsh, yeah.
But, I mean, I think she did it for a few reasons. I mean, one is to mess up John, obviously.
Right.
She's been following along and like spying. And I think she also saw a little bit of like Stella coming out of the church. Well, and Stella coming out of the church and be like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And, and seeing that as a moment to not only fuck with John, but also just to prove how strong she was, that she could go to somebody of true faith and straight up murder them.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no way one of us was going to take her out. The fact that we all had to work together as a team to get her, you know, I mean, having her get shot in the face a few times helped immensely, because every time she had to change her viewpoint, you know, and that was very helpful. Otherwise, we would have been dead.
Yeah, I wanted to give you guys an NPC in that moment to help offset some of the combat and everything. But you guys also managed to turn some vampires to your side, which I wasn't expecting, and had them go out and take out a couple of Nosferatu.
Yeah.
Which I think helped a lot as well.
Building community.
Yay!
That's what we're doing here.
I have a question for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite NPC?
Oh, Brock. Duh. Like, hands down. Anytime he was there, I was just like, as much as he was annoying to like our characters, like he's hilarious. Yeah. Like, it's like, I feel like you can see him right away. Like, this guy is like, you know, this guy, like, he's out there. I love him. I love him so much.
Yeah.
He
rolling.
He understands keggers, but not really raves, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
for sure.
But he probably went to a few because he's like, yeah, my friend, you know, got me to go and I tried. It was wild. Those girls looked hot there, though.
Yeah, like totally.
I loved Madame Rev, the team mom.
Yeah,
so she was pretty awesome.
I really felt it was funny because in the first few episodes, I was like, you know, all of us were like, we should go talk to Madame Rev. I'm like, are we bugging her a little too much? Like, are we bothering Madame Rev?
No, gotta go team
but
mom.
Yeah, she was totally team mom, Madame Rev. She was really cool. I like Chill, definitely. Mm-hmm. That she was fun. And one of those things that we obviously weren't planning because mm-hmm. we kind of were randomly messing about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the way that you pivot and were able to keep it going was pretty cool. So I enjoyed her quite a bit.
No, I think that, I think definitely Madame Rev was my favorite because she's just so like suave, you know?
Yeah, right? Cool.
Yeah, very so cool. And she's got it all together, you know? And I think that's something that Maria aspires to.
Yeah.
Is to be that cool. Yeah.
I liked a lot of the NPCs that were put together, but actually one of the most fun ones to play was Joanne Rampart.
Yeah.
When John breaks into the apartment
and
they have the whole back and forth and they've got this awkward thing. And then, you know, she needs to be comforted after that. Yeah. And you guys are like, how do human it's okay. Don't be cry.
Don't speak after I meet.
Like I was having a really good time playing that NPC.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Also, shout out to Fatima. She was really cool.
Yeah,
like I absolutely got where she was coming from. Just being like, "What? Who are you? Like, get out of here!" And then she went out like a G, and that was great. Oh, okay, bye. Lots of screaming.
Well, you know, like I mean, we only really encountered the Second Inquisition once, but now we've really stirred the pot because we've gotten rid of a very very powerful vampire who is associated with a lot of other, you know, things. So you know that it's just going to be a shit storm.
Yeah, I was terrified because when they were like, oh, there's multiple locations, did that realization, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Because like we can take her out here, but what the hell is going on across
and
up and down like, the state or whatever.
Vampires and, you know, are involved in this and, you know,
Yeah.
I'm sure they've all got the same hookup, you know, like the same like setup kind of situation and...
Yeah, which, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how all of that develops. The way the schedule is, I believe we come back with this in September. I believe your show starts again in September.
Nice.
So after we do, I believe it's after RuneQuest or... It's right after Bria's show. I'm not sure which one, but we are definitely coming back with it because it was a lot of fun to play. So
well, and there's definitely a lot more threads that can be followed.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, I wanted it to feel like a whole world, even though it was set in, you know, a familiar territory.
Yeah,
yeah, and I got to say again, it was really interesting for me to run a game in a contemporary setting. Because this is the first game I've ever run that's been contemporary.
Nice. Mm.
Cool.
So, awesome. Like, normally I like to set stuff in the past and strip out cell phones and make players kind of have to go around that. So, it was interesting finding ways to, like, split the party and do stuff when you still have technology very much in play. Because technology ruins
a lot of
things.
Because not everybody was good with technology.
No. Yeah. No.
But you still had to worry about technology because you're vampires and making sure you weren't on the grid in certain CCT ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's so much that you would have to consider that in our day-to-day lives, we just take for granted. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I think the thing about vampires in particular is they almost have to isolate themselves. So it's a good thing because you're right. When you have the internet at your door, at your fingertips, it makes it a little too easy to think that you can go out and do whatever. But yeah, my character was not. I had a lot of fun playing the medieval, like ancient. What is all this, guy? It was fun because all the references he didn't get, all of the interactions he didn't get, and knowing that he was that way, like being aware of not being aware.
Yeah, and it was really enjoyable to watch how all of your characters started so spread out from each other, especially considering like the back history that they had.
Yeah.
But you all had kind of set off to do your own things and then have to pull it all back together. Mm-hmm. Was really interesting.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I appreciate it. One thing I want to ask is that, you know, you know, this was Bria's first show with us. Yeah, so thank you so much.
Yeah, yo.
So it's very cool. So we appreciate you, your voice. And it was a
lot of
fun.
Character was a delight.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh God.
Same to all of you.
So
it
cute.
Was very cool.
Is there anything that you guys would really want to see or experience in another season?
There's a lot of things.
I mean, there's so many things. Like, honestly, that's what I was just saying. Like, that, I was like, oh, thinking about it. And I'm like, oh my God, there's so many things that are like possible and with the team. I don't know. I think, you know, Cult 2.0, I got to figure out what's next.
Yeah.
I think just.
But like using them to help create more community and also like realizing, like, oh, our disconnection was probably part of our downfall with this last.
Yeah.
People coming in, you know, and that's, sure. That was part of it.
I think that was my entire, like I said, mm-hmm. my entire arc was I'm a shitty leader. Oh, wait, I need friends. I need people. When Isabeau came back in, I was like, I need to get out from underneath her thumb and I need my friends and my humanity as much as I can salvage it. So I see that next season has a billion things that could go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I like the element of surprise. I think that, I think Mackie did a really good job of not being predictable, you know, as far as plot, you know, and stuff like that, because, you know, we're all gamers. We've all been doing this quite a while. And so it's really easy to kind of go, oh, I know this is going to happen or this is probably, and it didn't, you know? And so, that was fun. That was really nice. And it was, I think that is what I'm looking forward to in the second season is maybe just
pushing the thing off the ledge and watching it go down the mountain. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And see which way it goes. Yeah,
so. I'm super curious to see, like, I like that we seem to have carved out our own little like haven, but I think I'm curious to see like other things from like the like VTM world coming into play and sort of disrupting the thing that we're building.
Right.
So like, yeah, we've already like seeded I almost said the Spanish Inquisition. No one expects it.
Yeah.
The second Inquisition coming in, but also maybe like someone from like someone's clan, like clan might come into play, especially between like the Ventru and Toreadors. Yeah. Just seeing how our little pocket of San Diego relates to like the larger vampire world.
Yeah. And I think it's very much opened up to that considering what just happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
You guys
yeah.
have basically taken over the city twice. That's not going to go without notice.
Yeah. No. We did it.
That hellfire is a chain.
Yeah.
It's the Chipotle of like sexy.
It's so upsetting. I feel like it's more like Yard House, the way it's like God. Set up. Yeah, do you know absolutely. What I mean? Like, that's what I imagine, wrong. Right?
It's a Yard House.
Yeah, it's a full on Yard House.
Well, I totally know that like Jean's going to be like, all right, let me see. We need to take over the next castle over, which is LA. So, how do we get into their hellfire and make it ours? And then we'll have
Oh my God, wow. Storming hellfires.
Storming hellfires. We'll need 10 knights and at least
a few my God.
Footmen. And
wow. Beautiful. Wow.
That's not how we do things. What?
No.
He's not so how it works Italian. Anymore.
It's not how it works anymore.
Cool.
So that's it. Thank you.
All right, guys. I think we have it.
Yeah.
Yay.
Done.
Yay.
Season one done.
See you next time.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.